由麦克牧师主讲，叶朗天即时传译兼主持的中英双语系列《天路导向》，提高你的英语水平，引导你的人生方向。天路导向，伴你同行。
Hello, listening friends. We are delighted you have joined us again.
亲爱的听众朋友，你好。我哋好高兴你能够收听我哋嘅节目《天路导向》。
Today we're going to commence a new series of messages.
今日咧，我哋系将要开始一个新嘅系列信息啦。
It has to do with the seven signs or miracles from the Gospel of John.
咁呢个新嘅系列信息咧，系取材自约翰福音，即系新约嘅约翰福音嘅七个标记，或者可以话咧系当中嘅七个神迹嘅。
I hope that you will follow with us in the scripture from the Gospel of John.
我好希望咧，你能够同我哋一齐嚟去查考约翰福音。
The word miracle has been used and abused so often in recent times.
到咗今时今日咧，喺边度咧，大家咧都可以随便嘅去使用，甚至咧系滥用神迹呢个嘅词语啦。
In some circles, miracle is used to define anything and everything.
有阵时咧，某啲嘅圈子里边嘅人咧，无论发生任何嘅事，都会咧系套上神迹两个字嘅。
In other circles, miracles become identical with magic and trickery.
在另一些圈子里面，人们就会将神迹和魔术，又或者是这个欺诈的行为，是混为一谈的。
Yet in other circles, miracles are viewed with skepticism.
另外还有一些圈子的人是抱有一种怀疑论，他们对神迹是表示怀疑的。
In fact, I know about a skeptical Sunday school teacher who was teaching a group of sixth graders.
事实上呢，我认识一位是对神迹是抱持怀疑态度的一位主日学老师，他呢是教一班六年级的学生的。
And he said to these bright and discerning children,
他就对这一班很聪明、很活泼，亦都呢是明辨是非的小孩子说，
When Moses led the Israelites through the Red Sea, it wasn't really a sea at all.
他说，当摩西带领以色列人过红海的时候，那阵时的红海根本不是什么真正的大海。
Then the teacher continued.
这个老师继续说了。
Actually, Moses and the Israelites walked across a 2-inch deep marsh called the Red Sea.
他说，其实摩西和以色列人只不过是走过两寸深的沼泽地带，那个就是红海了。
At that point, one of these bright sixth grade students spoke out.
就在这个时候，一个很醒目的小孩子就立刻回应说了。
Wow, then it must have been a real miracle when God drowned Pharaoh's whole army in a little puddle of water.
他说，哇，当神将法老王全军是浸死在一个这么浅的小水潭里面，那啊，真是真正的神迹了。
The scripture tells us that a miracle takes place when God's power intervenes in the natural world with supernatural power.
圣经话俾我哋听，当一个神迹出现嘅时候咧，就系神以一种超自然嘅力量介入咗我哋嘅自然世界嗰度。
The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated again and again that as God in human flesh, His miracles were foolproof.
耶稣基督是神成为人来到这个世界上面，每一度都是显示出他所行的神迹绝对不是呃人的把戏来的。
They were instantaneous.
这些的神迹是即时见效的。
And they had a 100% success rate.
这些的神迹是100%成功的。
Miracles were Jesus' demonstration of his power over nature and over demons.
神迹证明了耶稣基督的大能是胜过大自然，也都胜过那些邪灵。
Miracles were Jesus' demonstration of his power over diseases and over death.
神迹亦都证明了耶稣的大能是胜过疾病，胜过死亡的。
Miracles were Jesus' demonstration of his amazing and astounding power as God incarnate.
神迹更加证明了耶稣是具有奇异而令人震惊的能力，因为耶稣就是神以肉身显现。
And that is why John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, uses a special word for describing Jesus' miracle.
这个就是为什么约翰耶稣这位所喜爱的门徒，为什么他是选用一个特别的词语来去形容耶稣的神迹的。
He uses the word Simeon or assign.
他呢是用到希列文里面的 Simeon 这个字，也就是呢标记的意思。
As far as John was concerned,
由此可见呢，约翰是认为
Jesus' miracles were a definite sign.
耶稣所施行的神迹就是一个明确的标记
and clear indication of who Jesus is.
是能够呢指出耶稣是哪一个。
As far as John was concerned,
对于约翰来讲，
Jesus' miracles were the sign that he is the Messiah and divine Son of God.
耶稣的神迹标志着他就是尼赛亚，他的而且确是神的儿子。
John tells us again and again,
约翰一再告诉我们
that the disciples saw and believed.
耶稣的门徒他们看见了并且相信了。
The crowd stood in amazement and believed.
咁群众呢亦都好稀奇咁样企喺嗰度，亦都相信咗啦。
According to John's gospel, these signs were given so that you may believe.
根据约翰福音嘅记载，神将呢啲嘅标记显示俾你，系让你呢都能够相信。
John records 7 of these Simeons or signs in his gospel.
约翰福音呢就记载了其中七个的标记，亦即是七个的神迹。
That is 7 before the resurrection and 1 after the resurrection, making a total of 8.
是指呢七个在耶稣复活之前所行的神迹，另外一个呢是行在耶稣复活之后，所以总共呢是有八个的神迹的。
If you are joining us for the first time today, we are going to begin a series of messages about these 7 signs in the Gospel of John.
如果你是第一次收听我们的节目，那么呢要告诉你，今天呢我们要开始一个新的福音信息系列，是关于约翰福音里面的七个神迹或者七个标记的。
Each of these 7 signs provide us with a deep spiritual truth.
这七个的神迹都包含着深奥的属灵真理。
They show us our inadequacy and Jesus' all-sufficiency.
这七个的神迹，他们显示出人的有限和耶稣的丰富。
They show us our inability to cope and God's provision.
这七个的神迹，他们显示出人的无能为力和神充足的供应。
Thus, in changing water into wine,
所以当耶稣基督将水变为酒的时候，
in healing of the sick,
当耶稣基督他医病赶鬼的时候，
Jesus defeated our crippling disabilities,
耶稣他胜过了人的有限和残缺，
in the feeding of the multitudes,
当耶稣他喂饱几千人的时候，
Jesus demonstrated his inexhaustible resources in the face of our barrenness.
耶稣他显明了当我们身处贫乏的时候，耶稣他本人是取之不尽的源头。
In walking on the water,
当他是在水面行走的时候，
Jesus contrasted our helplessness in the face of the awesome forces of nature and his mastery over it.
耶稣由大自然的力量以及是他掌管宇宙的主权对比出我们的无助。
In the opening of the eyes of the blind man,
当耶稣他医好盲人的时候，
Jesus revealed our natural blindness and himself as the light of the world.
耶稣他显示出我们是盲目的，但是他就是世界之光。
In the raising of the dead,
当他是使死人复活的时候，
We see our defeat by death and Jesus' victory over death.
我们先至明白人被死亡击倒，但是耶稣却是战胜死亡。
Each miracle has a significance and a meaning.
每一个神迹都有它的重要性和它的意义。
Each miracle is intended to point us to God and God's provision in Jesus Christ.
每一个神迹都指引我们归向神，以及他在耶稣里面给我们的供应。
Each miracle is to the glory of God.
每个神迹都彰显出神的荣耀。
Each miracle has spiritual meaning.
每个神迹都有呢是属灵的意义。
Each miracle conveys to us some deeper biblical principle.
每个神迹都传达更加深层的圣经的原则。
So in today's message from the miracle of changing water into wine, we see a sign.
所以在今日所讲的耶稣变水为酒的神迹里面，我们看见一个标记。
This sign is for the life-giving power of Christ against the ritualism of Judaism.
这个的标记指出耶稣赐生命的大能是超越了犹太教的礼仪主义的。
It signifies that there is a transforming power with Jesus.
并且是强调了耶稣具有改变的能力。
Jesus changes the water of Christless religion into the richness and fullness of his grace.
耶稣将缺少了基督的宗教改变为神那份丰富而圆满的恩惠。
Jesus changes the water of uncertainty and legalism into the wine of liberty and eternal life.
耶稣将怀疑和律法主义改变为真自由和永生。
Jesus changes the water of the imperfection of the law into the wine of the perfect gospel of the good news.
耶稣将有缺陷的律法改变为完美的福音。
Jesus changes the water of the dreariness and the drudgery of everyday life into the wine of his joy and contentment.
耶稣将日复一日枯燥无味的作息改变成为真实的喜乐和满足。
Turn with me please to John chapter 2 verses 1 to 10.
请大家翻开约翰福音的二章一至到十节。那段经文是这样记载的，他说第三日在加利利的加拿有娶亲的筵席，耶稣的母亲在那里，耶稣和他的门徒也被请去赴席，酒用尽了，耶稣的母亲对他说，他们没有酒了。耶稣说，母亲，原文呢就是妇人，他说我与你有什么相干，我的时候还没有到。他母亲对佣人说， 他告诉你们什么，你们就做什么。照犹太人洁净的规矩，有六口石缸摆在那里，每口可以盛两三桶水。耶稣对佣人说，把缸倒满了水，他们就倒满了，直到缸口。耶稣又说，现在可以舀出来送给管筵席的，他们就送去了。管筵席的尝了那水变的酒，并不知道是哪里来的，只有舀水的佣人知道。管筵席的便叫新郎来，对他说，人都是先摆上好酒，等客喝足了才摆上次的，你倒把好酒留到如今。
The story is familiar to many of us.
这个呢是大家好耳熟能详的故事。
Jesus had just begun his public ministry.
耶稣呢在那个时候刚刚开始出来传道。
He goes to a wedding of someone presumably related to Mary his mother.
他参加了一个的婚宴，这一家人呢很可能是他的妈妈玛利亚所认识的。
Some traditions say that Mary was a sister of the bridegroom's mother.
更加有人说呢，可能新郎的妈妈呢是玛利亚的姊妹。
If that is the case, that explains Mary's deep concern for saving this poor family from the embarrassment and the shame of not having enough wine.
如果真是这样呢，就难怪玛利亚会为主人家呢是很着急，担心他们因为预备的酒不够呢而失礼和蒙羞的。
In the ancient times, there was a strong element of reciprocity about weddings.
按照古代的习俗呢，结婚的双方呢是一定要门当户对，礼尚往来的。
Also, certain legal actions could be taken by the father of the bride if her groom and his father did not provide proper festivities.
如果新郎同埋佢嘅父亲喺婚宴上面系准备不周咧，咁新娘嘅父亲咧，甚至系可以采取法律行动嘅。
You have to understand this kind of wedding to understand the intensity of the situation.
你一定要咧系先明白当时有关于婚礼习俗的背景，先至能够明白呢一次事件的严重性。
Before the marriage can take place, a betrothal ceremony has to take place.
在正式的结婚之前呢，首先要先举行订婚礼。
This is a lot more than just an engagement party.
而且呢，不单单呢，是一场宴会那么简单。
This is a contractual and solemn pledging of the couple to each other.
这个呢是一对新人极其庄严地互许终身，定下婚约的一个仪式。
The betrothal ceremony was so binding that to break it would be the equivalent of divorce proceedings.
这个订婚礼呢是具有绝对的约束力，如果中途违约呢，咁同离婚啊系一样咁严重嘅。
At the conclusion of the betrothal period, which is negotiated by the parents, marriage takes place.
当双方嘅家长系倾妥咗所有嘅条件之后，咁订婚礼呢就结束啦。紧接住嘅呢就系举行结婚典礼啦。
Normally a wedding would take place on a Wednesday, if the bride was a virgin, and on a Thursday, if she was a widow.
通常如果新娘是处女呢，咁就喺星期三举行婚礼。如果新娘是一个寡妇，咁就喺星期四举行婚礼啦。
On the wedding night, the bridegroom and all of his male friends make their way in a procession to the bride's house.
喺婚礼嗰一晚呢，新郎同佢嘅朋友呢就会系列队前往新娘嘅屋企去迎亲。
This would often take place at night so that their procession was a spectacular torchlight procession.
因为喺夜间进行啊，咁迎亲嘅队伍呢就会高举火炬进行呢系非常之好壮观嘅一个迎亲嘅行动。
The bridegroom knocks at the door of the bride's house.
咁新郎呢就嚟到新娘嘅屋企门口，就亲自去敲门。
When the door is open, the groom makes certain promises to the father of the bride.
当这个门打开的时候呢，新郎呢就一定要向他的岳父呢是许下诺言的。
Then the bridegroom and the bride join in the procession back to the groom's house where the wedding takes place.
咁然之后呢，接新娘同埋迎亲嘅队伍呢就一齐返屋企去举行婚礼啦。
The wedding festivities were not just a simple dinner or a banquet.
婚宴同一般嘅饭局同埋呢餐会呢係好唔同嘅。
Some wedding feasts would last as long as a week or even longer.
结婚嘅筵席有时呢係长达一星期甚至更加长嘅。
Sometimes before the end of this particular wedding feast, the wine ran out.
在耶稣这一次所参加的婚宴里面呢，就去到中途的时候呢，啲酒竟然已经饮晒了。
Presumably 2 or 3 or 4 days into the feast.
那阵时呢，好可能是婚宴去到第二或者第三或者第四日。
Running out of the beverage in the middle of your festivities means that you are too poor to adequately provide for your wedding.
在筵席的中途，那些的饮品，那些的饮料都已经用尽晒呢，就表示这一家人的经济呢很拮据，没办法去负担婚宴的开支的。
That is a cause for permanent shame and embarrassment.
这个呢，简直可以说是终生的耻辱来的。
This could cause the father of the bride to sue the groom for not fully discharging his duty of hospitality.
新娘的父亲更加可以因为这样是控告新郎是未尽到款待宾客的责任的。
In most current cultures, if something like this happened,
如果这件事是发生在现代呢，
We would go out and talk about the bride's father behind his back and say how cheap a host he was, and that would be it.
咁大不了呢，新娘嘅父亲呢就会喺人哋背后呢批评呢个嘅新郎呢太过吝啬，太过呢係唔识得待客之道啦。
Back then, it was a bit more serious than that.
但係呢，喺嗰个时代呢，事情啊就係严重得多啦。
Some people try to use this passage as an excuse for consuming an inordinate amount of alcohol.
有些人呢就故意引用这段圣经呢是作为自己呢是喝醉酒或者喝很多酒的一个托词的。
That is wrong.
这样的讲法呢是错误的。
Most scholars argue that the wine in those days was so mixed with water that it had no more than 2 or 3% alcohol content.
大多数的学者呢就指出，在耶稣那个时代所饮用的酒呢都是调入了大量的水分，实际含酒精量呢只有是2%到3%左右的。
And that is why Leviticus 10:9 makes a distinction between wine and strong drink.
这个呢就是利未记10:9所提到的清酒和浓酒的分别了。
The mixture was 3 parts water and 1 part wine.
通常呢都是按照3份的水一份酒这样的比例呢是调和的。
In other words, you would have to drink about 22 glasses of this kind of wine to get the same effect of 2 alcoholic drinks.
换句话来讲呢，要喝22杯那阵时的很淡的酒才等于呢2杯今日嘅烈酒嗰个嘅浓度嘅。
So no one can use this passage as an excuse for using alcohol.
所以啊，要引用呢段经文作为鍾意飲酒嘅藉口呢係站不住脚嘅。
Now back to the message.
好啦，现在言归正传啦。
Up to this point of his life, Jesus performed no miracles.
耶稣生平呢直到呢一刻啊都未行过一件嘅神迹嘅。
This was his first.
呢一件呢可以话系佢一生里边嘅第一个嘅神迹。
But Mary knew who he was.
但系玛利亚呢系知道耶稣系边个嘅。
Mary knew what the angel told her before his birth.
当耶稣诞生之前，天使就话俾玛利亚听啦。
Mary knew that she conceived him while she was still a virgin.
玛利亚好清楚自己系童贞女怀孕生耶稣嘅。
So she asks if he would supernaturally intervene.
所以呢个时候佢就嚟求耶稣以超凡嘅能力去介入呢件事。
She asks him to save these folks from having a permanent scar in the community.
佢求耶稣为呢一家人解围，免得佢哋呢系遭受永远都好难磨灭嘅伤害。
By the way, when Jesus calls Mary his mother woman in verse 4,
嗱，顺带一提，当耶稣称呼佢嘅母亲玛利亚系为妇人嘅时候呢
，This is not rudeness.
呢个呢并唔系代表呢耶稣对佢嘅妈妈不敬。
This is a term of endearment of that time.
而系呢当时嘅用语呢就系咁样去表示亲昵嘅。
And so Mary asks the servants to do whatever he tells them.
咁所以呢玛利亚就话俾嗰啲嘅仆人听，就叫佢哋呢系遵照耶稣嘅吩咐去做。
Jesus asked the servants to fill the 6 jars with water.
於是耶稣就吩咐佢哋呢系将六口嘅缸呢系装满咗水。
These jars of water were used in the ritual of purification.
呢啲嘅水缸呢原本系为当时洁净嘅礼而用嘅。
And when they were filled to the brim,
当水系加满咗嘅时候，
Jesus changed the water into wine and then they served it to the guests.
耶稣已经将水变成咗酒，仆人呢就用呢啲嘅酒系去款待宾客。
I want you to tune in next time and I will tell you the spiritual significance of this miracle.
喺下次嘅节目里面，我将要讲到呢件神迹嘅重要嘅属灵意义。
My listening friends, it's very important that you tune in so that you get the full understanding of this miracle.
所以亲爱嘅朋友，你一定要收听，免得你失去咗全面去明白呢个神迹嘅意义嘅机会。
Because I'm going to tell you some things that you may never expect to hear about this miracle.
因为呢我将要话俾你听一啲有关于呢个神迹嘅事，好可能呢系出乎你嘅意料之外嘅。
Until then, I wish you God's richest blessing.
愿神大大赐福俾你。如果你对今日嘅节目有任何嘅意见，又或者喺读经嘅时候遇到困难，都欢迎你来信同我叶朗天同埋麦克牧师去分享嘅。信封面只要写电台所广播嘅通讯地址咧就可以啦。好啦，今集嘅节目时间嚟到呢度，我哋下集再会。